Are you looking to advertise? Then advertise with the Conservative Underground on KFNX. With over 50,000 weekly listeners, KFNX has one of the largest signals of any Phoenix radio station. If you're interested in advertising on radio with a large listener base, then contact Francis Battaglia, President, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. Call Francis at 602-277-1100, extension 1463. Call now.
Broadcasting from an undisclosed location in southeast Arizona, fighting to expose the truth and help put the country back on track, this is the Conservative Underground. Send us an email to undergroundtalkshow@gmail.com. Listen to us online on any device. Simply log on to www.undergroundtalkshow.com. And now, here's your host, behind the microphone of truth, Big D.
Alrighty, welcome back to another broadcast episode of the Conservative Underground, and we are broadcasting from an undisclosed location in southeast Arizona. I'd like to say thank you to all of the new followers that are following us over on Podbean. You can catch us also in iTunes, we're on Google Play, we're in Stitcher Radio, Contra Radio Network, and lots more. We're in all the major hosting services out there, so you can definitely find us. Do us a favor, hit the like button, hit the share button. We are on social media as well. And you can find us on Twitter as well as all the major YouTube as well. We're out there on all the major hosting services. So hit the like button, share it with your friends, and we do appreciate it. We also ask that you would listen to our sponsors when we take our breaks and support our sponsors as well, because without them, we don't have a program. And so this week we're going to talk about Mueller. Yes, I know. Mueller was a dead issue. Mueller was in the grave, and the Democrats felt the need to try to resurrect it as if Mueller has something on President Trump. And, you know, it's funny, even now, after the testimony to the House Judiciary Committee, the Democrats still believe that there is something there, and they are still going to continue with this investigation. This nonsense that has been going on and has wasted millions upon millions of taxpayer dollars. And it's still, they just can't let it go because it's the only thing they have. And it's dead. They know it's dead. And, you know, Nadler talking about impeachment and all this stuff. You know, I don't know. Maybe he didn't listen to the last program where we talked about Representative Al Green getting his rear end handed to him with an impeachment vote on the floor. He didn't even get 100 votes. It's not like, I mean, nothing has changed. They didn't have anything before the trial or before the testimony, and they still have nothing after the testimony. You know what happened in the testimony? It seemed like Mueller was on point every time a Democrat asked him a question. But most of the time when Republicans asked him questions, well, I can't get into that. I can't answer that. I can't speak to that. I won't speak to that. Listen, we're going to listen to some sound bites right now. The first one we're going to bring up is Representative Turner, the Republican from Ohio. Let's listen to this.
Mr. Mueller, I have your opening statement, and in the beginning of your opening statement, you indicate that pursuant to Justice Department regulations, that you submitted a confidential report to the Attorney General at the conclusion of the investigation. What I'd like you to confirm is the report that you did, that is the subject matter of this hearing, was to the Attorney General.
Yes.
Now, you also state in this opening statement that you threw overboard the word collusion, because it's not a legal term. You would not conclude because collusion was not a legal term.
Well, it depends on how you want to use the word. In the general parlance, people can think of it that way. But if you're talking about in the criminal statute arena, You can't, because it's much more
a lot of stumbling going on there.
Accurately described as conspiracy.
Right. So, in your words, are it's not a legal term, so you didn't put it in your conclusion, correct? That's what you're opening.
That's correct.
Mr. Mueller, I want to talk about your powers and authorities. Now, the Attorney General and the appointment order gave you powers and authorities that reside in the Attorney General.
Here we go.
Now, the Attorney General has no ability to give you powers and authority greater than the powers and authority of the Attorney General, correct?
No, I don't believe. I think that is correct.
Mr. Mueller, I want to focus on one word in your report. It's the second to the last word in the report. It's exonerate. The report states, accordingly, while this report does not conclude that the president committed a crime, it does not exonerate him. Now, in the judiciary hearing, in your prior testimony, you've already agreed with Mr. Ratcliffe that exonerate is not a legal term, that there is not a legal test for this. So I have a question for you, Mr. Mueller. Mr. Mueller, does the Attorney General have the power or authority to exonerate? Now, what I'm putting up here is the United States Code. This is where the Attorney General gets his power. And the Constitution and the annotated cases of these, which we've searched. We even went to your law school, because I went to Case Western, but I thought maybe your law school teaches it differently. And we got the criminal law textbook from your law school. Mr. Mueller, nowhere in these, because we had them scanned, is there a process or description on exonerate? There's no office of exoneration at the Attorney General's office. There's no certificate at the bottom of his desk. Mr. Mueller, would you agree with me that the Attorney General does not have the power to exonerate?
I'm going to pass on that.
Why?
Because it embroils us in a legal discussion, and I'm not prepared to do a legal discussion in that arena.
Well, Mr. Mueller, you would not disagree with me when I say that there is no place that the Attorney General has the power to exonerate, and he's not been given that authority. You would not.
Again, I'm not going. I take your question.
Great. Well, the one thing that I guess is that the Attorney General probably knows that he can't exonerate either. And that's the part that kind of confuses me. Because if the Attorney General doesn't have the power to exonerate, then you don't have the power to exonerate. And I believe he knows he doesn't have the power to exonerate. And so this is the part that I don't understand.
Watch this.
If your report is to the Attorney General, and the Attorney General doesn't have the power to exonerate, and he does not, and he knows that you do not have that power, you don't have to tell him that you're not exonerating the president. He knows this already. So then that kind of changed the context of the report.
No, we included in the report for exactly that reason. He may not know it.
All right, stop the tape. Stop the tape. Okay, so here's where it's going to get interesting, because Representative Turner is trying to make the case that Mueller cannot exonerate the president. This is the point he's trying to make. And yet he put it in his report, because he wanted to make sure that everybody knows that, well, we can't say Donald Trump is innocent, and this report does not exonerate President Trump. Even though he knows that he does not have the authority to exonerate President Trump in the beginning. Let's continue, because he's going to press this point. Watch. This is good.
So you believe that the attorney, Bill Barr, believes that somewhere in the hallways of the Department of Justice, there's an office of exoneration?
No, that's not what I said.
Well, I believe he knows, and I don't believe you put that in there for Mr. Barr. I think you put that in there for exactly what I'm going to discuss next. And that is, so the Washington Post yesterday, when speaking of your report, the article said Trump could not be exonerated of trying to obstruct the investigation itself. Trump could not be exonerated. Now, that statement is correct, Mr. Mueller, isn't it, in that no one can be exonerated? The reporter wrote this, that this reporter can't be exonerated. Mr. Mueller, you can't be exonerated. In fact, in our criminal justice system, there is no power or authority to exonerate. Now, this is my concern, Mr. Mueller. This is the headline on all of the news channels while you were testifying today. Mueller, Trump was not exonerated. Now, Mr. Mueller, what you know is that this can't say Mueller exonerated Trump, because you don't have the power or authority to exonerate Trump. You have no more power to declare him exonerated than you have the power to declare him Anderson Cooper. So the problem that I have here is that since there's no one in the criminal justice system that has that power, the president pardons, he doesn't exonerate, courts and juries don't declare innocent, they declare not guilty, they don't even declare exoneration. The statement about exoneration is misleading. And it's meaningless, and it colors this investigation. One word out of the entire portion of your report, and it's a meaningless word that has no legal meaning, and it has colored your entire
report. The gentleman has expired.
Well, now, right there, that is why I brought this, that sound clip in here. Representative Turner nailed it. He nailed it to the T. The whole thing. Remember, in the very opening of this, Nadler made it a point to say, to grill and say, that this report does not exonerate Trump. Now, there's been a lot of talk about no one is above the law, even the president. We're going to hear a little more about that. But it just, this, Turner just nailed it, and nobody picked up on it. I didn't hear anybody, none of the pundits, none of the conservative talk. I didn't hear, if they did, I didn't hear them. Nobody picked up on it. This whole thing is dead right there based on what Mr. Turner said. That Mueller does not have the power or the authority to exonerate anyone, nor does that word or term exist anywhere in our legal system in the United States of America. Therefore, by him putting those words deliberately in that report makes it look like, well, we can't prove Donald Trump's innocent. That means he's guilty. Donald Trump colluded. Well, no, I'm sorry. He didn't collude with the Russians. Donald Trump obstructed justice because we cannot exonerate him. When knowing full and directly that Mueller or nobody else in the legal system has the authority to exonerate. That was a misleading term, and it was deliberately used in order to make it look like we can't prove he was innocent. See, they couldn't prove any guilt. They didn't have any guilt. So they keep referring, and you, if you listened, if you watch this, you heard them talk about the word exonerate many times. The Democrats still continue. Well, the report doesn't exonerate Trump. The report doesn't, Mueller couldn't exonerate Trump. Mueller doesn't have the authority to exonerate Trump. Way to go, Representative Turner. You nailed it, sir, and nobody else picked up on it. Way to go. I can't believe that this is even an issue anymore because the whole thing is dead. Now, you've known it was dead. I've known it was dead. The Democrats have been fighting and trying to revive this whole collusion and this whole thing. Mueller himself said that on collusion, we could not find evidence to prosecute. We cannot prove that Donald Trump colluded with the Russians. And then he said on obstruction, well, we can't exonerate him because they couldn't prove that he obstructed justice either. Hold on, we're gonna bring in some more. We got Representative Stewart, the Republican from Utah. Check this out.
Mr. Mueller, it's been a long day. Thank you for being here. I do have a series of important questions for you, but before I do that, I want to take a moment to reemphasize something that my friend Mr. Turner has said. I've heard many people state no person is above the law. And many times recently they add not even the president, which I think is blazingly obvious to most of us.
I'm having a little problem hearing you, sir.
Is this better?
That is better. Thank you.
I want you to know I agree with this statement that no person is above the law. But there's another principle that we also have to defend, and that is the presumption of innocence. And I'm sure you agree with this principle, though I think the way that your office phrased some parts of your report, it does make me wonder. I have to be honest with you. For going on 3 years, innocent people have been accused of very serious crimes, including treason. Accusations made even here today. They have had their lives disrupted and in some cases destroyed by false accusations for which there is absolutely no basis other than some people desperately wish that it was so. But your report is very clear. No evidence of conspiracy, no evidence of coordination. And I believe we owe it to these people who have been falsely accused, including the president and his family, to make that very clear. Mr. Mueller, the credibility of your report is based on the integrity of how it is handled. And there's something that I think bothers me and other Americans. I'm holding here in my hand a binder of 25 examples of leaks that occurred from the special counsel's office from those who associated with your work, dating back to as early as a few weeks after your inception and the beginning of your work, and continuing up to just a few months ago. All of these, all of them have one thing in common. They were designed to weaken or to embarrass the president, every single one. Never was it leaked that you'd found no evidence of collusion. Never was it leaked that the Steele dossier was a complete fantasy, nor that it was funded by the Hillary Clinton campaign. I could go on and on. Mr. Mueller, are you aware of anyone from your team having given advance knowledge of the raid on Roger Stone's home to any person or the press, including CNN?
Stop the tape. Hold it right there. If you've been listening to this program, especially during the time frame when Roger Stone was indicted, you can go back. You can find it on undergroundtalkshow.com. All the archives are there. Here's the interesting thing, and I talked about this on my other podcast, The Two Crazy Guys with Mark Boyle. I've talked about it on the Patriot Alliance that I do with John Jeffers and Mark Boyle and the rest of the gang over on Contra Radio Network. And it, you know, when this whole Roger Stone thing was going down, we all questioned the fact that, and so did others, many others questioned this, how did CNN know what was going down? Because it's funny, they went into this man's home on Saturday morning, unarmed. He was unarmed. They sent in more FBI agents than we sent in to go get Osama bin Laden. And CNN was there with lights, camera, and action reporter. They knew it was there. And I said then, we all said then, that somebody leaked it. Now look at what's happening here. Look what, let's fast forward to here, just this last week, you know, and here we are. We have Representative Stewart, the Republican from Utah, questioning that very thing. Let's continue.
Well, I'm not going to talk about specifics.
Oh, of course you're not going to talk about specifics. Not when it has anything to do with your report being leaked to CNN or with the fact that you're going to indict, not the report, but the fact that you're going to indict Mr. Stone. And that was leaked to CNN. Now, of course, you're not going to talk about that, are you?
I will mention, but talk for a moment about persons who become involved in an investigation. And the understanding that in a lengthy, thorough investigation, some persons will be under a cloud that they should not be under a cloud. And one of the reasons for emphasizing, as I have, the speed of an election, or not election, the speed of an investigation, is that so those persons who are disrupted as a result of the...
I appreciate that, but I do have a series of questions.
With the result of that investigation.
Thank you, and you're right, it is a cloud, and it's an unfair cloud for dozens of people. But to my point, are you aware of anyone providing information to the media regarding the raid on Roger Stone's home, including CNN?
I'm not going to speak to that.
Okay. Mr. Mueller, you sent a letter dated March 27th to Attorney General Barr in which you claim the Attorney General's memo to Congress did not fully capture the context of your report. You stated earlier today that response was not authorized. Did you make any effort to determine who leaked this confidential letter?
No, and I'm not certain. This is the letter of March 27th?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm not certain when it was publicized. I didn't know it was publicized, but I do not believe we would be responsible for the leaks.
Well,
I do believe that we have done a good job in assuring that no leaks occur.
And we have 25 examples here of where you did not do a good job. Not you, sir. I'm not accusing you at all. But where your office did not do a good job in protecting this information. One more example. Do you know anyone who anonymously made claims to the press that Attorney General Barr's March 24th letter to Congress had been misrepresented basis of your report?
And what was the question?
Do you know who anonymously made claims to the press that Attorney General Barr's March 24th letter to Congress had misrepresented the findings of your report?
No.
Sir, given these examples as well as others, you must have realized that leaks were coming from someone associated with the special counsel's office. What I'd like to ask is,
I do not believe that.
Well, sir, this was your work. You're the only one, your office is the only one who had information regarding this. It had to come from your office.
So What's going on? Is Mueller lying here? I mean, talk about catching a stooge on a pigeon stool. It had to come from his office. Nobody else had access to it. What that means is that the fact remains that when they were going to go and arrest Roger Stone, Mueller's office is the only one that knew that was going to go on. Somebody in his office leaked that information. That's the whole point that we're trying to get at, that I'm trying to get at here. That's why I brought this sound clip in, because it supports what I had said before about somebody leaked the information when it went to CNN when they were going to go and arrest Roger Stone. But that there's more here. We're talking about leaks that are damaging to the president and to his credibility. Nowhere do you see, Representative Stewart said, nowhere do you see anything about, you know, the dossier and all this faked up information and the FISA warrant and all this other stuff. No, but it was all stuff that was damaging to the president that was leaked, including the fact that they were going to go and indict Roger Stone, who was and is a close ally of President Trump, which would have been damaging to President Trump and his credibility. We're going to take a break and we're going to listen to some of our sponsors, and then we will be back with more of this whole Mueller investigation and report. Don't go away.
Of being tired? Well, then it's time to get the tea. Hey, it's Lisa here to tell you about this all-natural, all-organic tea I've been drinking that has had great results for over 20 years. It's called Life Change Tea, and it's specially formulated to help detoxify and cleanse your kidneys, liver, colon, and blood all at once. The colon is one of the most ignored organs in the human body. The faster that waste is eliminated from the body, the less time that waste sits in our intestines, spreading toxins to our bloodstream. This tea helps cleanse chemicals caused by outside intruders from our entire digestive system. And get this, weight loss can be a side effect. And with continued use of the tea, you can experience clearer, healthier, younger looking skin, increased energy, and a happier outlook on life. So if you're tired of being tired, get the Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. And like me, you'll be glad you did.
Hi, this is John Jeffers inviting you to listen to my show, The Jeffers Brief. You know, on The Jeffers Brief, we discuss topics of interest and concerns for preppers and patriots. You can only find us on the Comptor Radio Network on podbean.com or KYAH 540 AM, Utah's Talk Authority. Hope you join me and we'll talk to you then.
Are you looking to advertise? Then advertise with the Conservative Underground on KFNX. With over 50,000 weekly listeners, KFNX has one of the largest signals of any Phoenix radio station. If you're interested in advertising on radio with a large listener base, then contact Francis Battaglia, President, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. Call Francis at 602-277-1100, extension 1463. Call now.
Listen to us online on any device. Simply log on to www.undergroundtalkshow.com.
Alrighty, welcome back. And now we're going to listen to Andy Biggs from Arizona. And it just keeps going on and on and on, folks. This whole thing was a sham, and all it was an attempt by the Democrats to revive a dead issue. This whole thing was a complete sham and a waste of time.
Over here. Thanks. Mr. Mueller, you guys, your team wrote in the report, quote, this is the top of page 2, volume 1, also on page 173, by the way. You said that you'd come to the conclusion that, quote, the investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in its election interference activities, close quote. That's an accurate statement, right?
That's accurate.
And I'm curious, when did you personally come to that conclusion?
Can you remind me which paragraph you're adverting to?
Top of page 2.
On 2?
Volume 1.
And so now he starts pretending like he doesn't know what's going on.
Okay. And exactly which paragraph are you looking at on 2?
Investigation did not establish.
Of course. I see it. Yes.
See it?
What was your question?
My question now is, when did you personally reach that conclusion?
Well, we were ongoing for 2 years.
Right, you were ongoing, you wrote it at some point during that two-year period, but at some point you had to come to a conclusion that that I don't think there's a that there's not a conspiracy going on here. There was no conspiracy between this president, I'm not talking about the rest of the president's team, I'm talking about this president and the Russians.
As you understand, in developing a criminal case, you get pieces of information, witnesses, and the like, as you make your case.
Right.
And when you make a decision on a particular case depends on a number of factors.
Right, I understand.
So I cannot say specifically that we reached a decision on a particular defendant at a particular point in time.
But it was some time well before you wrote the report. Fair enough. I mean, you wrote the report dealing with a whole myriad of issues. Certainly, at some time prior to that report is when you reached the decision that, okay, with regard to the president himself, I don't find anything here. Fair enough?
Well, I'm not certain I do agree with that.
So you waited until the last minute when you were actually writing the report and say, oh, okay.
There are various aspects of the development of
Sure, and that's my point. There are various aspects that happen, but somewhere along the pike, you will come to a conclusion there's no there for this defendant. Isn't that right? So apparently...
I can't speak to
you. You can't say when.
Because he knew all along. He knew all along that there was no collusion. And the whole thing was a sham, and they decided to go on and on and on and on and on with this thing. That's the whole point here, is that there was no collusion. All along we knew there was no collusion, yet we opened up this false investigation. We had Hillary Clinton pay for the Steele dossier that was full of lies against Donald Trump, the president, then candidate Trump, okay? And then they took it to a FISA court. They took it to a FISA court to get a warrant, to get a FISA warrant, which is a legal warrant to be able to spy on someone. That's right then and there when Mueller, now I am saying this because this is my belief. Anybody with any kind of a credible mind thought would have right then and there known that this whole thing was bullcrap. As soon as we found out that it was Hillary Clinton who paid for the Steele dossier, right there should have been your inclination that the whole thing was a farce. But no, I can't speak to that.
Mr. Mueller, evidence suggests that on May 10th, 2017, at approximately 7:45 a.m., 6 days before the DAG's Deputy Attorney General appointed you special counsel, Mr. Rosenstein called you and mentioned the appointment of a special counsel. Not necessarily that you'd be appointed, but that you had a discussion of that. Is that true? May 10th, 2017.
I don't have any knowledge of that occurring.
You don't have any knowledge, or you don't recall?
I don't have any knowledge.
Okay, right there, and I know you can't see this, you're listening to it, so if you didn't watch it, I'm going to explain what happened here. Right there, Andy Biggs kind of turned his head, looked at Mueller, and kind of turned his head as if it was kind of in disbelief. And Mueller's gonna reply to that here in a second, but I wanted to make it clear. That's what happened was, so I don't recall that happening. Really? You don't recall that happening, such a large major event like that, and you just conveniently forgot?
Evidence also suggests...
I mean, given that what I saw you do, are you questioning that?
I just find it intriguing. Let me just tell you that there's evidence that suggests that that phone call took place and that that's what was said. So let's move to the next question. Evidence suggests that also on May 12, 2017, 5 days before the DAG appointed you special counsel, you met with Mr. Rosenstein in person. Did you discuss the appointment of a special counsel then? Not necessarily that you, but that there would be a special counsel.
I've gone into waters that don't allow me to give you an answer to that particular question. It relates to the internal discussions he would have in terms of indicting an individual.
It has nothing to do with indictment. It has to do with special counsel and whether you discussed that with Mr. Rosenstein. Evidence also suggests that on May 13, 4 days before you were appointed special counsel, you met with former Attorney General Sessions and Rosenstein, and you spoke about special counsel. Do you remember that?
Out of hand, no.
Okay. And on May 16th, the day before you were appointed special counsel, you met with the president and Rod Rosenstein. Do you remember having that meeting?
Yes.
And discussion of the position of FBI director took place. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And did you discuss at any time in that meeting Mr. Comey's termination?
No.
Did you discuss at any time in that meeting the potential appointment of a special counsel? Not necessarily you, but just in general terms.
I can't get into the discussions on that.
How many times did you speak to Mr. Rosenstein before May 17th, which is the day you got appointed, regarding the appointment of special counsel? How many times prior to that did you discuss?
I can't tell you how many times.
So, does anybody else find it interesting how he doesn't remember anything? He's not remembering any of this stuff. He doesn't recall it. These are all key things that took place. And like I said, when the Democrats were asking him questions, he was right on point. But anytime a Republican asked him questions, he was pretty much, well, I can't answer that. I don't recall that. I can't get on to topic about that, et cetera, et cetera. We got more. Don't go away.
Hey, folks. Guess what the number one phrase that Life Change Tea receives by email? You ready? We love this tea. We love this tea. Time after time, week after week, we love this tea. Life Change Tea gives you more energy, a beautiful cleansing, and fulfills its slogan perfectly. The tea that makes you go. So if you want to be on your health game, log on to getthetea.com and order Life Change Super Strength Tea. Packages come in a 1 month supply, and when you brew this stuff, wait until you see the results. Aren't we all about the results? And with a lot of people's health struggling, we can use a little bit of help. Doctors will tell you disease starts in the gut. So log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Be our next email saying, I love this tea. I mean, I love this tea. Get the tea at getthetea.com. Helping America one tea bag at a time.
Are you looking to advertise? Then advertise with the Conservative Underground on KFNX. With over 50,000 weekly listeners, KFNX has one of the largest signals of any Phoenix radio station. If you're interested in advertising on radio with a large listener base, then contact Francis Battaglia, President, Independent Talk 1100 KFNX. Call Francis at 602-277-1100, extension 1463. Call now.
Did you know you can find us on iTunes and Google Play too? Or download the free Podbean app by logging on to www.undergroundtalkshow.com and clicking the green Podbean app button on the bottom of your screen.
All right, we're going to continue. We're going to continue the rest of the program on this subject. And here comes the part. This is why Mueller didn't want to testify to begin with, because he knew the Republicans were going to ask him questions, and he knew that there were some Republicans that knew what they were talking about and that knew what they were doing. Don't forget, Barr gave him a way out, but he chose to go anyway. And this is what the Democrats tried to stop, but were unsuccessful. Enter Representative Gohmert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Mueller, well, first, let me ask a unanimous consent, Mr. Chairman, to submit this article, Robert Mueller Unmasked, for the record.
Without objection.
Now, Mr. Mueller, who wrote the 9-minute comments you read at your May 29th press conference?
I'm not going to get into that.
Okay, so that's what I thought. You didn't write it. A 2013 puff piece in the Washingtonian about Comey said basically when Comey called, you drop everything you were doing. It gave examples. You're having dinner with your wife and daughter. Comey calls, you drop everything and go. The article quoted Comey as saying if a train were coming down the track, and I quote, at least Bob Mueller will be standing on the tracks with me.
Yeah.
You and James Comey have been good friends or were good friends for many years, correct?
We were business associates. We both started off in the Justice Department about this.
You were good friends. You can work together and not be friends, but you and Comey were friends.
We were friends.
That's my question. Thank you for getting to the answer. Now, before you were appointed as special counsel, had you talked to James Comey in the preceding 6 months?
No.
When you were appointed as special counsel, was President Trump's firing of Comey something you anticipated investigating, potentially obstruction of justice?
I'm not going to get into that. That's sure. Internal deliberations in the Justice Department.
Actually, it goes to your credibility, and maybe you've been away from the courtroom for a while. Credibility is always relevant. It's always material, and that goes for you, too. You're a witness before us. Let me ask you, when you talked to President Trump the day before he appointed or you were appointed as special counsel, you were talking to him about FBI director position again. Did he mention the firing of James Comey?
Not as a candidate. I was asked.
Did he mention the firing of James Comey in your discussion with him?
Cannot remember.
Pardon?
Cannot remember. Don't believe so, but I'm not going to be specific.
You don't remember. But if he did, you could have been a fact witness as to the president's comments and state of mind on firing James Comey.
I suppose that's possible.
Yeah. So most prosecutors want to make sure there's no appearance of impropriety. But in your case, you hired a bunch of people that did not like the president. Let me ask you, when did you first learn of Peter Strzok's animus toward Donald Trump?
In the summer of 2017.
You didn't know before he was hired?
I'm sorry? What did you...
You didn't know before he was hired for your team?
Know what?
Stop tape. So here we have Gohmert pressing Mueller on the fact that he had hired an individual, Peter Strzok, who was having an affair, and that's going to come up too, and they had text messages back and forth about stopping Trump. And here we've got a conversation going on about Mueller hiring Peter Strzok, who had an animosity towards President Trump. And he's trying to find out when exactly did he know. Because remember, at this point, everybody on the Mueller team had an animosity towards Trump. Nobody, including Mueller himself. Including Mueller himself. So that's what Gohmert's trying to get at, is when did you know about Strzok's animosity towards President Trump? And he'd asked him that. And then Mueller comes back and says, about what? Like as if he forgot. He knows what he's being asked. He's just trying to evade the question. Let's continue.
Peter Strzok hated Trump.
Okay.
You didn't know that before he was made part of your team. Is that what you're saying?
I did not know that.
All right. When did you first learn?
When he did find out, I acted swiftly to have him reassigned elsewhere in the FBI.
Well, there's some discussion about how swift that was. But when did you learn of the ongoing affair he was having with Lisa Page?
About the same time I learned from Strzok.
Did you ever order anybody to investigate the deletion of all of their texts off of their government phones?
Once we found that Peter Strzok was an author of... May I finish?
Order, well, you're not answering my question. Did you order an investigation into the deletion and reformatting of their government phones?
No, there was an IG investigation ongoing.
Well, listen, regarding collusion or conspiracy, you didn't find evidence of any agreement, I'm quoting you, among the Trump campaign officials and any Russia-linked individuals to interfere with our U.S. election, correct?
Correct.
So you also note in the report that an element of any of those obstructions you referenced requires a corrupt state of mind, correct?
Corrupt intent, correct.
Right. And if somebody knows they did not conspire with anybody from Russia to affect the election, and they see the big Justice Department with people that hate that person coming after them, and then a special council appointed who hires dozen or more people that hate that person, and he knows he's innocent. He's not corruptly acting in order to see that justice is done. What he's doing is not obstructing justice. He is pursuing justice, and the fact that you ran it out 2 years means you perpetuated injustice.
I take your question.
Gentleman's time has expired. The witness may answer the question.
I take your question.
He never did answer the question. He never did answer the question. He avoided the question. But you see right there, Representative Gohmert was right on point. The whole thing was a sham, and it should have been picked up as a sham in the very beginning. This whole thing, all it was an attempt. They're trying to revive impeachment again, okay? Even though last week or, 2 weeks ago? You know, it was 2 weeks ago. This was last week. So it was 2 weeks ago. Representative Green tried to force a vote and did force a vote on the House for impeachment. Got it handed to him. And they don't have a crime. They don't have obstruction of justice. They don't have anything. Mueller, remember now, Mueller does not have the power to exonerate anyone. Nobody has the power to exonerate anyone anywhere in the Justice Department of the United States of America. And remember what Mueller said. We can't, if we had evidence that we could prove Donald Trump was innocent, we would have said so, okay? Which is a play on words. I've said it many times on this program. It's a play on words, ladies and gentlemen. That's all it is, a play on words. We can't find that he's guilty, so we have to say, well, we can't prove he's innocent. You weren't trying to prove he's innocent, my friend. You were trying to prove he was guilty. But you see, the whole thing was a sham, and it goes right back to what you heard earlier. It should have been picked up on the fact, and anybody with a right frame of mind would have picked up on the fact that when we found out that the Steele dossier was paid for by Hillary Clinton, that's when the whole thing should have ended, because it was a sham, and the investigation should have turned from Donald Trump's collusion with Russians to Hillary Clinton's criminal intent of filing for a false Steele dossier in order to get take to a FISA court, which they lied to the FISA court and said that that they had this factual document, which was based upon lies. That's where the investigation should have turned to right then and there. So the whole thing was a sham. Guys, this thing went on for hours. I cannot possibly fit all of it that went on in this one program, in this 1 hour program. But if you missed it, man, you didn't miss a whole bunch. You just missed some factual pointing out. The Democrats were continuing on their, you know, usual triad, and then there towards the end, they ran out of ammo. The whole thing was a sham. They know it's a sham, but they're trying to perpetuate it as factual that Donald Trump. Okay, they're still even trying to say that Donald Trump colluded with the Russians, and they're. The whole thing is a sham. And so it actually, what all this boils down to is the Mueller testimony to the House Judiciary Committee was a sham. It was an attempt, a weak, feeble attempt, and it flopped in their face big time. It flopped. Even the media was, you know, in a frenzy about how this whole thing flopped. And it was an attempt to revive an impeachment chant because Donald Trump committed a crime of obstruction of justice. So that's basically all I have to say about it. I know I've eaten up pretty much the whole program with sound bites, but I thought I picked the sound bites that were important for you to hear, the ones that I thought were the big ones anyway, and things that, you know, it didn't seem like anybody else picked up on. But anyway, that's going to do it for the day. Remember, the clown show is returning to town this week, folks. So we're going to have to watch that and stomach that and see what happens this week in the clown show. Mr. Biden says that he's not going to be Mr. Nice Guy anymore. So we could be witnessing the return of creepy Uncle Joe Biden, the rude, obnoxious, drunk uncle that comes to Thanksgiving dinner. Listen, We want to thank you for tuning in, and we're going to step out. We want to thank you for tuning in, and like I said before in the beginning of the program, please like, share, and subscribe, and there, like always, there will be more coming down the pipe. So stick around next week, because we'll be covering the second of the Clown Show, the 2020 presidential Democratic debates. So stick around for that next week. Until then, stay safe out there, and thanks for tuning in.
This has been The Conservative Underground. Send us an email to undergroundtalkshow@gmail.com. Don't forget to log on to our website at www.redstateunderground.com. Listen to us online on any device. Simply log on to www.undergroundtalkshow.com. Catch us on social media. On Facebook at Underground Talk Show. On Twitter at Underground Show 2. That's SHO and the number 2.